Kashem Shonaya Bemekach Umemkar, just like there is misleading or cheating by purchase and sale, Kachonoy Bidvarim, so too there is Honoya but in verbal matters. For example, Lo Yomar Lo Yim B'Shonat say to an individual, V'kama Chepet Zeh, if how much you're going to charge you for this object. How much this object costs? The way to light to Likach, and you don't really want to buy it. It's just making him trouble. Imayah Baal Tshuva, if an individual is Baal Tshuva, Lo Yomar Lo, and another individual should not say to him, Zchor Ma'aseh Rishon, remember when you were a Rasha, way back, not so long ago. Imayah Ben Gerim, if he comes from the progeny of Gerim, Lo Yomar Lo, you should not say to him, Zchor Ma'ayu Ma'aseh Abosecha, remember what the deeds of your fathers were. Shemar it says, V'ger Lo Soneh, a ger you should not afflict, and you should not pressure, because you yourselves are gerim in Egypt. Similar issues of Onoah. A Marvin Peros, though related but not directly. A Marvin Peros Peros. You cannot mix together different grades of fruit if they're not exact, precise, the same. That's cheating. Afilu Chadashim B'Chadashim, even new fruit with new fruit. Ain't so Chumar goes without saying, Chadashim B'Shoyim can't mix new fruit with old fruit, because even if you're going to charge less as a result of that mixture, nevertheless the buyer thinks he's getting the better fruit, because the eye is caught by the better fruit. Only in wine they permitted mixing in older wine, harder wine, barach, and softer wine, newer wine, nishmash bichol, because it's better. In other words, there is a certain advantage to the mixture. If you remove the dregs from the wine, you can't mix them back in. I will notice in Lishmar, but you can give the dregs separately and count them into the cheshbon of the price. In other words, there is usually the going price does include a certain amount of dregs. If you happen to separate them, you can't reintroduce them, but you can include them in the sale. Mishazar Mayim B'Yeno, somebody who already mixed his wine, he diluted with water. He may not sell it in his store, unless you told you tell your buyer up front that it's already diluted, because he might not want to dilute it. It goes bad quicker. So in the middle of this mission still, Mishazar Mayim B'Yeno, again, somebody who watered that mixes wine, he can't sell it in a store, unless he tells the purchasers that that's the case. So the Tzogar should never sell it to a salesman. In other words, to another salesperson. Even though you let him know, he's only going to use it to cheat. He's going to sell it without telling people that it's actually mixed. But Mayim, of course, if it's a place where it's normally sold diluted, Yatil, then you are allowed to sell it diluted. Tell me Chamesh Kronos. Now, a seller that's a middleman can take grain from five different silos. Venos ain't talking about Gurach, is put into one big hopper. Or Mechamesh Chamesh Gitos, you can take wine from five different vineyards. Venos ain't talking Pita Mech and put into one barrel. If that's only if it's his normal custom doing business, of course, you shouldn't intentionally mix grades. As we said before, mixing grades is not permitted. When are you coming back, by the way?
Back the 31st.
Okay, good. Then you don't overlap.
Oh, you are?
I think you did the same thing last year, the two of you. Okay, fine. A storekeeper should not give toast and toasted wheat and nuts to children. That's equivalent to candy. Because it causes them to, accustoms them to come to him, and it's unfair competition practices. Chachamim permit this practice. Chachamim say it's okay because if he gives out candy, you give your own candy, right? V'lo'ivcho says Ashar, you should not undersell the market. That's Rav Yudas, it seems to be Rav Yudas' opinion. Chomrim Zalchalato, if you undersell the market, Gesuntay, the other Rabbah, so you should be commemorated for the good, because you're doing everybody a good deed, good turn by selling for less. Lo'yavos agrisin, you should not sift the beans, because when you sift the beans before you sell them, you charge much, much more, and actually it seems that people then would charge more than they're actually worth. Kedivrei Abba Shaul, Chachamim would say no, that whatever you charge is advantageous for the buyer, because he himself wants to avoid the tircha of having to sift the beans himself. However, everybody agrees you shouldn't sift just the beans that go at the top of the hopper, right? Because that's nevas ayin, right? You're just tricking people into thinking that the whole thing is sifted, whereas only the top is sifted. Main of foxy, one cannot make up. Gemara is going to say that it's with makeup literally. Los Adam, not a slave who's on the block. Los Aim, nor an animal which is being sold. Los Akeim, nor Kalim which are being sold. You can't detail your used car before you sell it in the marketplace. Okay?
I
do not know. Usually there's this thing about the Lachal Mosh Misina, but I don't think any of these are Lachal Mosh Misina. I don't think so. Okay, right. You know, it must be, even though it didn't sound like it was all in probably. But I didn't actually look it up to see, but I assume it always, because no, the Pnei Moshe, I didn't see it brings down the whole thing. But yeah, I assume it just is, and it gets glossed over at the end of Hatzot, but it must all be there. Rabbi Abdima Malcha Hava. Rabbi Abdima Malcha Hava. Now, the Pasha says that he was seller of salt, but other people say that it means that he was from a place called Malcha, and yet other people say that he was a sailor. In modern Hebrew, also Malach is a sailor. But the Lieberman says one thing we know from the Yerushalmi Tzukah is that he had a store. And that's critical to the next thing. Hava Mefater Sardvasei. The Gerson Iskoriel is Sadra Vosei, exchanging the Dalad and the Reish. And the way, what it seems to mean, in the space on Lieberman, is that he would moisten his sieves, the sieves that he used in his store. And I don't know, we don't know exactly what he was sifting, but he was sifting something, and when he moistened it, then whatever he was sifting would come out more glistening and more shiny. So, Armle Rabbi Yaakov Barach said, you can't do this, but then ain mefarkasin. You cannot adorn your wares. So Milsa Marov, Rabbi Yaakov Barach's complaint teaches us sheish pirkus b'ochem, that even by food there's a concept of not dressing up. The Bnei Moshe is a different shot here, but what he brings on, I think, is from the Bavli, that you can't, if you have water which is lean, you can't. And in the old days, meat was, which is lean. The old days, fatty meat was more advantageous. You can't soak it in water in order that it should absorb the water and look like it's fattier. Okay, so that's a similar idea. Rabbi Zeir Abba Osik Bada Kitna. Rabbi Zeir was involved in selling a certain type of linen. Asa Gabe Rabbi Avo. You can't tell Rabbi Avo. Bravo. Amalisa said, Mano Meshapra Vidite. Can I make it look very nice? Okay? So Amar Lezer said, "Ezel Ovid Madati Oda. Go do whatever you know how to do." In other words, that to make it look nice is not false advertising. That's part of making a fine product, and that's okay. So you actually make the product look nice. That's part of producing the product. Okay, that's a distinction between advertising and producing a fine product. Similarly, Rav Osik Pelein Lustai was involved in necklaces, and also Shol Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina. He came and asked Rabbi Yochanan Amarlein, he said to him, Manon, there's a word missing here, which is in the Eskorial, it should be Manon, Mabit Pas Besin, Bilin Lestai. Can I make like little pieces of color in the necklaces? Because obviously necklaces which have colored pieces in them, little baubles, they look much more attractive to the eye, and therefore they're much more likely to get noticed and bought. Amalei said, "Ozel Avin Madati Oda." Yes, you can go do whatever with this thing. That's okay. Rabba Sukar Tor. Sakar tar means he piled. Sakar means to rub, and tar means to clean. In other words, he scrubbed and rubbed his stuff. And it's not clear exactly what scrubbing and rubbing, but whatever he's doing. But as you see, that scrubbing and rubbing the wares is legitimate. You're allowed to do that.
Shining the silver.
Shining the silver, right? The same idea. So that's okay. So Tana Rabbi Yaakov Amitsunaya, Mao Ein Mefarksin. When it says you're not allowed to make up human beings, what does it mean? The Lo Yemale shouldn't say to the person who's on the block, Tzur Garmoch, go color on yourself. In other words, don't go draw up on yourself and use makeup in order to make yourself look better. Okay, now our societies are based on the opposite of everything that this Gemara values, but that's what the Gemara is about. Okay, new parak. Hardest parak, one of the harder brachim in Shas Bavli, but here it doesn't seem to be so difficult in the Ujami. Ezu Neshech Vezu Tarvis. What is considered to be in the interest of Nesha, what's going to be the interest of Tarbis? Now, the Bavli ultimately says there's only semantic difference between the two. There's no real difference. And the Yerushalmi doesn't say anything there. Doesn't pick up on it at all. But the Mishnah here gives two different scenarios and just arbitrarily brands one Nesha and one Tarbis. Ezu Nesha, what's Nesha? Hamalva Sela B'chamisha Dinoim. If I loan you if I loan you $4 and I expect by $5, classic ribbis, right? The Saim Chiti, 2 measures of grain, Misholosh, 2 for 3, classic ribbis, and Nesher Noshech, you're taking a bite out of him, that's Nesher. Vezu Tarbis, what's Tarbis? Now, this is a case which is really Durabonim. The way Chazal are distinguishing, again, arbitrarily, is between Neshech Dorais and Tarbis Durabonim, even though both words are mentioned in the Torah. But what's the case of Tarbis Durabonim? Amarbe Veperos. So you end up delivering more fruit. Ketzad, what's the case of which we're talking about? Lokechemenu chitim bedina zor vakur. If I buy from you a grain when it's a dinar, a golden dinar, it's $25 a bushel. The chenashar, that is the price. On the chitim, the price goes up before delivery. The shloshim dinar, the $30 a bushel. Amarlo, so the buyer says, "Tein lechita, I wanted to give you my wheat. I shani mochner, I want to sell them for a profit. Lokechni ibayin yain, and I'll buy with them wine. In other words, I'll reinvest." Amarlo, so he said, "Arechitecha asuya solai b'shloshim dinar." Let's imagine that I gave you $30 per bushel worth of grain. And now you are, instead of owing you the grain, I'll owe you the wine. In other words, he doesn't want to pay up now. He might not have the wheat. So therefore he says, let's make an imaginary transaction. Let's exchange the imaginary wheat for imaginary wine. And now I'll owe you wine instead of wheat. So that's awesome, right? It's also, if he doesn't have wine, then it's also because this fictitious transaction is going to end up with the seller delivering far more to the buyer than the buyer actually invested. And that's no good. Okay? So that's Isid Rabbanim. Okay? No, another case, which is actually in the Bible, is another Mishnah much further along. Amal v'schavei, or somebody who loans his friend money, lo yada b'chatzer chinam, you may not live, the lender cannot live in the courtyard of the borrower for free, because that's like ribbis, because he's getting the additional value of living in the guy's courtyard. Nor can he even rent for less. Mimneshu ribbis, because that's ribbis. Okay? I'm Rabbi Yana. Rabbi Yana said, barking out some fully ujamas. I'm Rabbi Yana. Zoe ribbis shiyotsu v'dayonim. Ribbis, if a malveh collected ribbis from a loiva, the lender collected ribbis from the borrower, so then the dayonim, the judges, extract that ribbis from the lender to the borrower. Bok and Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan, that taka da alocha. Ribbis maushi it's b'dayonim. It's actually machlokas in the Bavli. We pass in the ribbis is yoytze b'dayonim. But they asked Rabbi Yochanan, what's the story? Is it true? So Amalo said, they said, Imi Zuf, that was true. Einanu menichim l'gdoyle Eretz Yisrael klum. We wouldn't leave for the gdoyle in Eretz Yisrael anything. Now, everybody goes very, very out on a limb trying to interpret this Gemara, what exactly it means. But Lieberman, Al-Khari is correct on this. Lieberman says, gdoyle here, gdoylim in the old days didn't mean gdoyle Torah. Gdoylim meant
in those days. Even now.
what does Gdoli mean today? It's the rich men, the rich people. So he says, Rabbi Yochanan is bringing a raya. What?
The honorary,
right. Rabbi Yochanan is bringing a raya from Lamaisa. He says, if we would extract ribbis, when the judge would extract ribbis from the bar lenders, every time they took ribbis, then the rich people in Eretz Yisrael would all be impoverished. They wouldn't have anything left, since they're constantly being malveh beribbis. So he says, since we see that there are rich people in Eretz Yisrael, and we know that they're all involved in these crooked deals, which give them ribbis, it must be that ribbis is not yaitzim b'dayonim. It's amazing proof. Okay, that's what he says. So Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, that ain't ribbis k'sutzim b'dayonim, even ribbis d'oraisa, ribbis which is d'oraisa mamish, you can't extract from the borrower, lend it to the borrower. Why is that? Of course, because the borrower gave it willfully. It was like a gift. It's an iser, but it's, you know, it's trapped.
Do we just give him malchus?
No, there's no malchus either, because he could give it back. You're powerless. There's nothing you can do.
So basically, can't do anything.
Basically, can't do anything. That's what he's
saying.
Yeah.
Just
they'll burn in hell. Right. That's all you can do. My Rabbi Yochanan, however, Rabbi Yochanan does say, now, the word moide here doesn't mean he concedes, because it's not really arguing to anybody, but Rabbi Yochanan said, she'en shtar zokek l'chaveiro. He's just consistent with the Shita. He's not. Some of them, Farshim, switch around the Girsa, but Lehman just says, Maida means, here means Omar. Same in the statement. He said, furthermore, if Reuven owes Shimon Reuven paid Shimon $100 with ribbis, right? In other words, he borrowed $100, and he's paying back $120, right? And he paid back $120. And there's another loan outstanding where Reuven is owes Shimon money. So we don't transfer over. We don't say, well, he paid $20 too much on loan number one for ribbis. He should only have to pay $80, $20 less on loan number two. No, each loan is independent. And therefore, the Aveira of loan number one is water under the bridge. It doesn't help the borrower in diminishing his payment on loan number two. You don't switch over from loan to loan. And furthermore,
even if it's to get rid of the potential of ribbis in the second loan,
right? Does it?
Well,
no. Okay. Well, so it's right. So we won't make him give ribbis. We'll try and prevent the ribbis in that loan, but we won't deduct from the principal. The principles of that. However, here Moshe is appropriate. If it's still in the same dollar as shtar, in other words, he paid the ribbis up front. He paid the interest before paying the principal. That there, it says here, but it's a typo. Should be menakin may, or the way the scorio has it, do makis lay. There we do deduct. In other words, if this loan has not been paid up yet, even though you paid, like by a mortgage, you paid more interest up front, there we deduct the interest from since it's an internal in the same loan. Okay, Ezu Tarvis. What's considered to be Tarvis? So, a Tani Yisrael Shilva Beribis. It'll be Beribis Lisro. A Jew, Ezu Tarvis is just the header from the Mishnah. It's not relevant to that tomorrow. Tani Yisrael Shilva Beribis Yisrael. A Jew loaned money Beribis to another Yisrael. Ain't a Goyvel Lois Akeret, the Lois Aribis. You know, this is also in the Bavli. We find the guy, since they created a loan which entailed ribbis, Basin does not assist the lender in collecting even the principal, much less the ribbis, the very mayor. Chomer and Chosei, Goyvitz, Kremlos, ribbis, no, we don't find person on Kadei Kat. He gets the principal, even though he doesn't get the ribbis. See, if it says, Tapi Tesserav, as Kasp Chol Tite Lo Beneshech, don't give me your money, Beneshech. Don't create a loan with interest. Ainly El Neshech Bekesef, Ribis Boichel. It says in the post, says Kaspo Lo Tite No Beneshech, or the Tarbis Lo Tite No Marbis Lo Tite No Lo Tite No Sochlecho. So it says Kesef is Neshech, Ochel is Marbis. So Ainly El Neshech Bekesef Ribis Boichel. Only seen by money, there's Neshech, and there's Tarbis by food. Neshech Boch, how we know that the words apply to both parts of the clause. Neshech Boch of a ribis bekesef minayin. How Neshech also pertains to food, and ribis also pertains to money. This is also in the Bavli. Tavlon goes, Buzz says, Altikach mito, Neshech of a tarbis. Because elsewhere the pasuk says, "Don't take for him national tarbis." He should hekish national tarbis. The tarbis and national. There's a linkage drawn between national and tarbis and national. Ma national kesef af tarbis kesef. Just like national is my money, so to tarbis is my money. Ma tarbis oichel, just like tarbis is my food. Av national is boichel. Right. That's kind of an aside. Lachem enochit chitim. Getting back to the issue of tarbis itself. Lachem enochit. Amrei Bobar Kana. And shine like this. How can I buy this at all? We really had this in the previous paragraph. It was on Daf Tesvav on base. How can I buy grain and expect and right now at the price of 25,000 bushel, take delivery later to 30,000 bushel, is that not inherently ribbis in and of itself? And our Mishnah gave the case where the grain must be converted on wine, but take the first segment of that transaction. When I give money for grain, and I'm not taking delivery right away, but rather later on, and by that time the price of grain is higher, that should be a foreign ribbis as well, right?
We had that yesterday.
What?
Didn't we have that?
A couple of days ago. So why is that not ribbis? We had this couple, yeah. So says Mar, Amar Rabbi Barbara, two answers here. Amar Rabbi Barbara, said, interesting thing, it's almost like a an ethical kind of statement. Hashar Shu Yofil Oilam. Yes, there's a certain shahr which is always good. In other words, it's a median shahr. It's good for the, I don't know if it's always good or good for the world.
Rate. Rate, which is good for the time.
Okay, but it comes at a certain time of the season, of course. It's not early in the season, not late in the season. It's a median rate. So pachas mikan, if you sell for less than that, violates buna, woe to the seller, because he's buying too much money. In other words, if he gets less grain,
he's selling cheap.
What? What he's saying is, if you're getting less than a bushel for your $25, that's what Pnei Moshe says. Yeah, Pnei Moshe says, if you're getting less than a bushel, what it says, woe to the buyer, right? If you're getting less than a bushel for $25, pachas mikan means less grain for your buck, right? So woe to the buyer. Yoser mikan, if you get more grain for your buck, vayim is zavna, woe to the seller, right? So actually, when the seller delivers, so what he in essence is saying is that the median shahr, the median price, the median rate, was regarded as being relatively stable and beneficial to both sides. So therefore, Chazal allowed this transaction to occur when you hit the time of a median rate. Now, the truth is that this really argues in the Bavli, because the Bavli holds that the shahr, the Bavli, I shouldn't say it argues, because I don't remember the precise details of Bavli, but according to Bavli, it seems that you don't need the median rate, the median price to be out in order to make this kind of transaction, even earlier in the season, as long as there is a legitimate shahr out there. In other words, there's a legitimate city-wide or region-wide price. At that point already you can make such a deal. But according to the Yushalmi, at least according to Rabbi Bobar Kana, it sounds like you need to have the median rate, and at that time Chazal assumed that it's stable enough that they allow you to make such transactions on regarding rubies. Hi, it might go up in price, but that's an aberration. We're not concerned with that. Okay? So it says, and of course the bottom line we have to stress is that anyway there's only going to be rubies to Rabbanim. Because rubies to rice is only when it's an explicit stipulation. I'm giving you a loan on the condition that you give me more back. Here there's no explicit stipulation subject to market conditions. So now it's not ribis to oraisa in any event. So therefore it's not ribis to oraisa in any event. That's why Chazal would allow, according to Rabbi Bobar Kana, as long as you have the median price out, that you can make such a transaction. Okay? So Omar lo says, okay, let's say that's fine. But that's what justifies the shahr. But what about the technical detail? Give me my grain that I sell. Where is the kinyan? Where do you make a kinyan? So Rav Nachman or Yaakov said, Sover Meimar Chayav Lami L'Chavero. Rav Nachman or Yaakov says that from here you see that when somebody makes a transaction with his friend, on he gives him money for the grain, and the person undertakes to give the grain, he must give the grain. It's a fascinating thing. Either in Baz and or Sameach, also the same thing that. No. He has to deliver it eventually. So it's like a futures contract. So in fact, the Escorial throws in here. It's not in Bachman, in the Shami Tzapa. Escorial throws in here. Rabbi Avobi Shem Yochel says Konolom Osam Tvar Torah. So he brings. So in fact, yes, the assumption is that Mos Konos is the basis of that. But it's more than that. We're taking it a step further. And this is interesting because the Bavli brings that down too. The Bavli says on the basis of that, it's not a ribbis issue, right? But according to the Bavli, there's no source that you actually have to deliver grain in the end. It could be that you give the guy back his money, right? How do you know that you have to eventually give grain? So here it says, no, the obligation is to give back grain. You're not just to give back money, but rather to give back the grain itself, whatever the price of the grain is. And that's why, if it goes up in value, you still have an obligation to give back grain and not just to default down and refund to the guy the money. So it's almost as if we're promoting this ribbis issue here by putting into the picture that you must, ethically, once this contract is negotiated, based on the shahr, that you must actually deliver the wheat. Okay, the Rambam Paskin's like this, Yerushalmi, that you have to deliver the wheat, and again, the Sirik Bazir makes that point that there are some Sameach as well.
And he's giving the amount of wheat that was originally contracted.
Yeah, which is now worth more. Which is now worth more.
Yes.
But that nevertheless is okay. Okay? Now, Hamavis Chavero. This is again a header from the Mishnah. By the way, I'm just saying this for public notification that there's an Amud Yerushalayim which brings up Pnei Yeshua at the bottom here, and I have no idea what he's saying. So he says, from here he learns a person who says, Chayav Mahani Afilu B'Davar Shlo Ba'olo. I don't know why it's called the Davar Shlo Ba'olo. Why is Davar Shlo Ba'olo? There's grain somewhere in the world. He doesn't have it, but there's grain. But he also has a Davar Shlo Ba'olo. I don't know why. Okay. Hamavis Chaver. Somebody loans his friend. Chabarnash Ashel Chavrei, period. That's the header. This go ahead in the latter part of the mission. Chabarnash Ashel Chavrei Dinorin. Certain guy loaned his borrow money from his friend. Arshinagol basically the borrower let the lender stay in his house. Armalei, so the borrower said, Havli Yogar Basi, give me the rent. You think you're here for free? Armalei, the lender said, Havli Dinori, you want from me money? You owe me money. First give me the money we owe, you owe me. Then we can talk about rent later on. So As Uvzukun Rabbi Bo Bar Mina. So the episode came from Rabbi Bo Bar Mina. Armalei said, It should have says you Vikim, but the Escorial has Yokis. And the Gilead Ephraim has something similar at the bottom. Yokis le madahava chame. It should be limish, right? He has to deduct from the principal that which he would have seen to spend in order to live somewhere. Chame means to see limish, right? To dwell somewhere. So therefore, in fact, Allah, it's really Allah of our Mishnah. If you're a lender and you're living in the house of the borrower, you have to pay him, or you have to deduct from the loan some, what you would have paid to live elsewhere. Now that doesn't necessarily have to be the full value of the rent, right? But we have to eliminate your hana. So it's not. This might be a penthouse suite, maybe it costs $5,000 a month, right? But you normally would pay wherever you lived $1,000 a month, right? So then you, the lender, have to give the borrower $1,000 a month as deduction from the loan. Because that's the hano which you're getting. Not the actual price of the rental, but the hano which you're getting from living in the house. That was his point.
The landlord couldn't have gotten
that. That's his problem. You're right. He could have gotten that, but that's not what I'm getting hano from. So therefore, my ribbis is the $1,000 a month, not the $5,000 a month. Good. That's a chiddush this morning. And there's such opinion in the Bavli as well, if I recall correctly. Tani, yesh dvarim. Shein Rebis and Mutar. There are, now the thing is like this. The Ritbaz and I think somebody else here, I forget who it was, has a problem with this. Lieberman also. Which is, this seems to argue Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan said Rebis, no, it doesn't argue Rabbi Yochanan, sorry. Zichar argues Rabbi Yochanan, but even argues Rabbanan. Because this is Abak Rebis. There's no stipulation. There's no stipulation in the loan that he's going to give him a place to stay as well. So there's Rebis at best, at worst, I should say, the Rabbana. Abak Rebis, it's called in the Bavli. Abak Rebis, ain't no Yitzhak B'Tanim. Everybody agrees you don't pay back Abak Rebis. So how come, if it's after the fact, if it wasn't part of the agreement for the loan, why does the restitution have to be made? Well, you know, why does he have to make deductions? Right? So good. So the truth is, we can just answer without the way the Ritbaz wants to craft the rest of the Gemara until the next Mishnah, is that it all is coming to lead to a response to that. And the Lieberman takes it even further and goes in the same direction. But the truth is, we could just say right now, it's very simple. This is like Rabbi Yochanan's case before. Rabbi Yochanan said in the same shtar, if he paid the ribbis up front, we deduct that ribbis from the principal, right? That's what we said before. So it's really saying we're in the course of the transaction. Yes, after the transaction, we wouldn't go back and remove the ribbis from the recipient and give it back to the giver. Remove it from the lender and give it back to the borrower. But we're in the middle of the transaction, we will try and prevent ribbis from actually taking place. And here we're in the middle of the transaction. We're not looking retroactively, in which case we don't try to rectify the situation, but rather proactively. And that's why we try to rectify the situation. That'd be a very simple answer. Okay? But in any event, the Gemara, again, according to Lieberman and the Ritbaz, the Gemara, the next Gemara is actually coming to answer this question, which I just posed. How come you make him pay up over here what he would have paid, or deduct what he would have paid to live elsewhere? And you don't necessarily have to learn that way, but that's how you could learn. Tani Yeshua and Shem Ribis Mutar. There's certain things which look like ribis, but they're mutar. Okay, it's odd. What's a case like that? Lokeach Adam Shtaros Chaber of Apachos. I can buy from you your promissory notes for obviously less than their face value. Or debts which you have outstanding upon other individuals, for less than their face value. I'm going to collect much more, right? So it's ribis, right? I paid you less and I'm going to get more. That's not right. It looks like ribis. It's not ribis. Because I'm not getting more from you because you borrowed money from me. I paid you less, I'm going to make more. That's okay. All right? However, Yeshua Sheinim, so that's okay. But yes, for him, on the other, there are other things, Shadim Ribis, Masrim Ne'ar Ramas Ribis, and there also goes on Ramas Ribis. And on this, the Ribaz and Lieberman contend that, I shouldn't really mention them in the same breath, Ribaz and Mahavdi and Lieberman contend that this is actually coming to explain the previous Gemara about the guy living in the house. Kate said, what's the case? Now here, everybody, all of them unfortunately, except for the Pnei Moshe, change the gear, so. It should be Kate said, take out the first line here. Could skip to the first word, the next line, and take out the vav. So Kate said, Amar lo. And this is the case in the Bible as well. Amar lo, a borrower comes to a potential lender and says, Itainly, here it says, sell a libra and change it to dinar, which is easier to work with. Dinar, which is actually the case in the Bible. Dinar, give me $25. Dinar, this is a dinar zav. A dinar zav is $25 regular dinar. So it's worth actually 100 sloim. I think they're four sella in the dinar. It's worth 100 sloim, okay? But let's use, I don't know if we have to use it. The scratch says $25. So I need to borrow $25. Armelisa says, I only don't have $25, but I have a bushel of grain which is worth $25. Tolucha. Take it. Then, what happens is the borrower borrows actually instead of money, grain. Right. So because I've already made it, then the lender says to the borrower, "Tell you what, I'll buy back from you." All of a sudden, he finds out he has money. Right? The truth is, what he meant before is he couldn't give the good loan in cash. But now he says, you know what, I'll buy back for you the grain, which I loaned you at $24. Okay, the grain was worth $24, I'll buy it back for you at a discount. And of course, then, the borrower will still owe $25, right? He's going to sell the grain back for $24, which will he'll use as cash. But he owes actually 100 measures of grain or $25 for the initial transaction, right? So there's no ribis here, because ribis is based on the principle of agar nata, of paying for having the loan out. You know, for agar means payment, for nata, for the waiting. In other words, the Malva says, you pay me because I'm waiting to get my money back. But that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that there's a fire sale which is taking place. And the borrower's got to raise cash quickly. He's selling at a slight loss in order to be able to raise that cash, which the lender wasn't willing to give him as an outright loan. So that's not actual ribis. There's no agarnata. There's no paying for waiting. Everything is immediate. Because the loan itself, you borrowed 100 bushels, also known as $25. You'll give back 100 bushels, also known as $25. Besides that, the borrower, the lender, made a profit on you because he bought grain from you at a discount. But that's not actual ribis. It's two separate transactions. But Chazal answered that because of how Ramas ribis. It looks like ribis. It looks very much like ribis, right? Even though theoretically it's the same like the case of the shtoros. I put your promissory notes at a discount. I'm going to go collect them at full value. But there's no difference. Now, there should be no difference in Chazal asked in this case, not the previous case. Now, ain't the ribis, avalos yishumar ramas ribis. However, there's a big chiddush. And the chiddush is, and the way I'm going to learn it is the way the Ridbaz and Mahavdil Lieberman learns. But it's not like the Shaitaris and some others learn. And this is even though the Malva has justification. He says, you know why I'm giving you less? Because I'm really leisat tzorich yoav, should be yoav, agar kalim. By buying back through the grain immediately, I'm saving you the expense of going and getting your own containers to carry the grain. Who says you can use my containers, right? So you would have to go and get containers. Oh, I got cut off him, right? Or I'm giving you the, I'm saving you the capacity, the expense of porters. So they have to carry the grain. So therefore, instead of akule, it should be akuze. Deduct the dollar beside the norach and take the 24. In other words, he has justification for saying, It's not. You can even say I'm not a Rosha. I'm not a Malva Baribis, even by a stretch of imagination. I'm giving you less because I'm saving you, the expenses which anyway would have had to undergo in order to raise cash by selling this grain in the marketplace. So just because I bought it, I'm the one who bought it back for you on the spot. Therefore, I should suffer, right? I'm the same thing. You're not losing anything. I'm gaining something. Why not? So Chazal nevertheless asked this because of our Ramas Ribis. And Lieberman brings down that there's, although I don't think he necessarily is correct in what he says, but he brings down a Ramah, which he parallels to this case, Kufsamar Gimel Gimel, and he says that, and this is even Yaitse B'dayonim, our Ramas Ribis, he wants to say, is Yaitse B'dayonim. In other words, this trick, this underhanded, this thing which looks like ribbon, which is not really ribbon, looks like ribbon, is Yaitse B'dayonim. I don't think it's right about that. I looked at the Ramah. I'm not sure the Ramah is saying what he's saying. But what they are trying to say is that Chazal prevented Haramas Ribis midstream. They stopped such transactions. And the same thing is true back here as well. Back here where Chazal, the way Baz and Lieberman are learning it, this refers back, although again, you don't have to learn it this way. This could be a totally separate sugya. But they want to say that it's going back to the sugya before, and just like we arrest Haramas Ribis midstream, so do we arrest the dwelling for free of the individual in the other guy, in the lender, in the borrower's domicile. Even though it's not real ribis, nevertheless, it looks enough like ribis that we have to arrest it. Okay. I'm not sure if I have long way, but that's the way it is. Now, Rabbi Law's statement, Lieberman, I think, is right about this. Rabbi Law's statement should be after the next Mishnah. I think that's absolutely correct, and we'll learn there for the next Mishnah, and then we'll come back to Rabbi Law's statement. Marvin al Eschar, vei Marvin al Mecher. You can increase rent if it's not paid up front, but you can't increase a purchase price if it's not paid immediately. The Gemara is going to explain why. Two reasons. Ketzer, but what are the cases? Hiskelo asachot. I loan you a courtyard. Farmalani said, if you pay me now up front, I give it to you for $10,000 for the year. If you make me come, however, every month and collect from you, then it's $12,000. It's going to be $12,000 a month, right? Which is more. That's mutter. That's okay. As I can say, if you pay me up front, it's $10,000. If you pay me month by month, it's $12,000. That's okay. How?
Service charge.
Well, okay. Well, let's have to say, however, so if I sold you a field, and I say, about the purchase price, if you give it to me now, the purchase price, immediately upon the sale, it's for $1,000. If you give me the purchase price later on in the year, right, at the time of the harvest, it's $1,200. That's awesome. Okay? So by rental, it's okay. By sales, it's not. Why? We're going to explain. But that's the basic difference. Reuven sold Shimon a field, and Shimon paid part of it. Vomer Lodi says, whatever you want, bring the rest of the money now. And Reuven stays in the field until Shimon comes up with the rest of the money. So it's service. Because Reuven's getting the money, plus the use of the field for the interim. That's ribbons. That's awesome. Okay. If, however, in this case, I loan a guy and the collateral is the field. Ramla said, if you don't pay within the next 3 years, the field reverts to be mine. And he eats the fruit during those 3 years. In other words, the lender stipulates he's going to eat the fruit during the 3 years. Beitus Ben Zoni got dispensation to do this from Chachamin, assuming that the borrower default. And if the borrower didn't default, then he were to return the value of all 3 years that he ate. Okay? Because that's what you have to do. Okay, now going back to the lines before the Mishnah. Rabbi Law said, it says you're binosin, but this girl says kinosin, and that's an important distinction. Kinosin lo schar raglo. You know why, this is what you said before, you know why by the rental, if it's each month it's $1,000 opposed to the beginning of the year it's $10,000, because you're giving the landlord the price of his walking back to you every month. Schar raglo means he has to come. Which is what you call a service charge. He has to come and demand it every month, so he should be compensated for that. It's not agarnatar. It's not a loan for which the money is outstanding, but rather it is payment for the fact that he has to come and sue you each month for the rent. So that's what it is. Rabbi Zeramar, a different shot. He says, Nasa kamasklo derbi yoker. This is not a loan. After a sale, if the purchase price is not paid immediately, it becomes a loan, which is the safe of the Mishnah, right? If you don't pay me immediately, but you pay me later on, that's a loan. But here, what it means is, no, the rent on an apartment is due each month at the end, and halacha is due at the end of the month, not beginning of the month, like in secular law. And it's chirs mishalem still basayif. So all he's saying is that if you pay me now, this is the rate. If you pay me later on, that's the rate. In other words, I'm entitled to charge whatever rental I want. If you pay me today, so mitchashekli, I'll decide I'll rent it to you for $10,000. If you pay me later on, the rental rates go up. There's no rent protection. So therefore, he is allowed to charge more. So that's a different shot in why schiris is different from sim. Okay? Chtab chof amrav. Tani, we learned. Hamoicher es sadel chaveru. Somebody sells a field to his friend. Varmeloni says, Amenashe bo aris, I'm selling you the field on the condition that I'll be your sharecropper. Amenashe bo shutav on the condition I'll be your partner. Amenashe maitzri, and I'm a levi on the condition that the maitzri goes to me. Amenashe kshetim krena on the condition that if you resell it, lotim krena ali will only sell it to me. All these, the word the shaitzer so throws in the word here, are mutter. However, Amenzman, Shukos Mashen, he writes in Naisin, the Mav and Okla, anytime I want, I can pay you back and take it back. Either shot there is no change of gears, and you must be right. Also, you know why it's also? Because it's ribbis. Because in this case, the seller, says, anytime I get the money back, anytime I want, I'm going to pay you back, and I get it back. Okay, that's nice, but that makes all transactions into a loan. In essence, what happened here is that the buyer loaned money to the seller, and the seller eventually gives it back the money. But in the meantime, what has the buyer gotten besides? The use of the field, right? So that's a form of ribis. That's also. Now we're going to talk about that.
Excuse me.
In a case, this is really similar. We're going to come back to that later, I should say. In a case where owed a lender money, and he wrote him over his field as a sale, not as collateral, as a sale. Kozma cha moicher ocho peros, as long as the seller is eating the fruit, it's mutter. Kozma cha lokech ocho peros, but as long as the buyer is eating fruit, it is also. Now, this is obviously a case, as Pnei Moshe points out, that it only becomes a sale if he defaults on the loan. And that's why there's a ribbis issue here, right? Even though he wrote it like a sale, not as collateral, we're not fooled by that. Since the sale is a sale, which has to do with the loan, is contingent on defaulting on the loan. If you don't default on the loan, you're going to get it, you're going to retain ownership. That means that the fact that the buyer is eating the peros, quote unquote buyer, is outright ribbis, right? Because you gave him the field to use in the meantime. So it must be, in order for such a deal to be legitimate and halachically sound, it's got to be that the borrower, the original owner, is in possession of the field. The lender, the guy to whom it's being quote unquote sold, cannot take possession of it. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda says, regardless, it's mutter. Why? We're going to see in a minute. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said that in our Mishnah, Beitus ben Zonim, Rabbi Yehuda said, interpreting our Mishnah, Beitus ben Zonim, Taka did this. Beitus ben Zonim would take the fields for 3 years to wait to see if the borrower defaulted, and in the meantime he would eat the payros. So therefore it would be according to what Chachomim would owe Mamish Ribbis, Rabbi Yehuda says, Chachomim in the days of the Beitus Ben Zonin were Matir. Amrullah, they said, no, you got the story wrong. There's several cases in Shas where Chachomim said, Rabbi Yehuda, you got the story wrong. This is in Bavli. Sukkah, a couple places, I don't remember where else, but Amrullah Misham Raya, Mechor Ocho Peros Haya. No, Enochai, Beitus Ben Zonin was not eating the fruit. Who was eating the fruit there? The seller / borrower. Because if the lender ate the fruit, it would talk be ribbis. What is the pshat? What is the machlokas here? Rabbi Yochum, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Mumi, Bate, Orechoma, Lama, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learned this Alochum, Bate, Orechoma. It's a classic case in Torah, right? The Alochum in Torah is in a walled city. If I own a house in Walled City and I sell it to you, I have the right to buy it back within a year, right? Remember that? If I don't buy it back within a year, then it's yours forever. But I have a year to buy it back. No. Walled City is forever. But I don't buy it back in a year, I get to retain it. The guy gets to retain it. So that's my mishribis, right? In other words, the buyer, the seller, sold it, and then buys it back for the same price. In the meantime, the buyer lives in the field, in the house, where every time is there. So it should be mamash ribis. Yet the Torah was mad in that case, right? Itani shana amura b'tera arei choyma. The year which is said in b'tera concerning arei choyma, harein committed ribis, vein and ribis. There's one bride who says it's like ribis, but it's not ribis, right? Tani choyer, why it's not ribis, we'll see in a minute. Tani choyer, another bride says harein's a ribis. Ma, what do you mean? It's like ribis. It is ribis. The Torah in this special case is matrit. Mandamar harezer kumin ribis feiner ribis. He who says that it's like ribis, it's not ribis. Big typo here. Big time typo. Should be Rabbi Huda. My everybody agrees to this. Mandamar harezer ribis. He who says that it is ribis. Shatari itir except the Torah is matrit. Is Rabbi Meir. Now, the score earlier has a line which is amazingly missing from, there are a couple lines here actually, which are amazingly missing from here, and without these lines, the whole Gemara, next Gemara doesn't make sense. My time of the, one of the lines is the following. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda, what's the large Rabbi Yehuda? Koribis sheyesh lo tzad echot shel heter mutter. This is a famous heter Rabbi Yehuda, which is in the Bavli too. Tzad echot beribis mutter. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if ribis will not necessarily occur, it's a possibility, but it won't necessarily occur. It's only tzad echad. It's one alternative. Then that's okay. He holds tzad echad ribis is mutter. If it's not the only alternative. So in that case, it's only going to be ribis if the buyer does buy it back. If the seller does buy it back. If the seller doesn't buy it back, it won't be ribis. So Rabbi Yehuda learned from this that tzad echot beribis is mutter, that the Torah is mati of this form of ribis. It's not like Rabbi Meir said, it's mamash ribis, but Torah is mati in this special case. No, this is a source to learn out the halacha, the tzad echot beribis mutter, meaning that you are allowed to set up an arrangement in which there might potentially be ribis, but not potentially not be ribis. And the same thing is true about the collateral case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's how Rabbi learned the case of Beitus Ben Zoinin, that he could eat the payros for 3 years because it may not turn out to be ribis, because it may be a default on the loan. Hi, if there is a default, there's no default on the loan, it is ribis because the lender got 3 years of payros for free, right? Because he loaned that money. That's sad echad beribis. Rabbi Yehuda, tzad echot beribis is mutter. We, Rabbanan, hold not that way. Rabbi Meir holds not that way. It's brought to Erechon a special case. You can't extrapolate from there. Any other case, even if it's only tzad echot, even if it's only possible that a ribis, not for sure, that's enough that it should be usher altogether. Okay? So that's why the collateral cannot be consumed by the lender slash the buyer. It can only be consumed by the seller slash the borrower. Okay? Now, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Katsalkis Migalusa, when they came up from Golus in Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachis Uvda Kumi Rabbi Yami. I found a case in front of Rabbi Yami. Now, in the Escoria, here in the Yerushalmi, in front of us, the case is not here. So everybody assumes that the case is one of the previous cases. But in the Escoria, which drives everybody nuts, because they don't know exactly how to fit in. What case are we talking about? What is the Uvda he found? But the Escorial brings down the case. The case is Hador b'chotzer chaver chutz midaito. I'm reading the line from the Escorial. I found a case like this. That somebody lived in his friend's yard without his permission. V'omen kumi hador. And they said concerning this, back to the Gemara, Hareza kumin ribis veino ribis. Now, let's talk about a case which is the Bible brings down Boba Kama and several other places. This the borrower has a yard which is normally not rented out. It's an open yard. And the lender comes and lives in that yard. He squats in that yard. So he's getting more hana, right, than the loan itself. He's getting the loan itself plus he's living in the yard. But this is not hana which the borrower usually charges money for, because it's eino osi lahaskir. What's the status in this case? So Rabbi Yami said, Harezer kumin ribis, yes, it looks like ribis, but ain't a ribis, it's not ribis, because he doesn't normally charge for this. So if it's not true ribis, because he's not giving him anything, which is a monetary reality to him.
But he is getting
hanoah. That's true. And the Bavli Taka answers this. Rabbi Yechon, the Bavli Taka answers this. But Rabbi Yami felt, no, it's not usher because since he's not giving anything, even though the other guy is getting something, that's not considered even to be look like ribis. Okay, that's what it's matter. Rabbi Chizkiah said, Ra Maru Ella, he argues, he holds up Rabbi Yechon the Bavli. Ra Maru Ella, it should be Hadah, Harei, those words are missing, Harei Zu Ribis. This is a form of ribis as well. Shatoyra, he, one second. Lomu Ella Hadah Zu Ribis. Veina Ribis. It's not really ribis. Ella Shatoyra Hitira, but the Torah was Matir this. Okay? In other words, it's like Bati Arachoyma. Kana Torah Hitira. And the Torah was Matir this by Bati Arachoyma, but not anywhere else. So he's learning, he answers it. Now it sounds like him, he's answering it to Raisa, because he's saying it's like Bati Arachoyma, which the Torah is Matir only there, not elsewhere. But it seems that he really means that, I think, it's the Rabban. He means that this like Bati Arachoyma, but by Bati Arachoyma, of course, that's a case where the living there is a commodity, which is something which the seller would not have allowed without payment. But here it's a case where the seller, the land bar would allow normally without payment. So it's not 100% comparable. But he's saying that's enough to ask the Rabbanim. Havamakam achelo, would be mutter any place else. Afilu kein, nevertheless, lo ashkech Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami paid no attention, and did not require the lender to either deduct from the loan amount or recompense the borrower in any way. Why? Because he said, Omar, Beso im Dairo Doyer, a house which has a tenant is dwelt in better. And the Bible also means that as far as Baba Kama, but there the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says there, Beso Misfa Yasif. If a house has somebody living in it, it's kept up, it's maintained. There's another pshat there that the shadim are kept away if somebody's living in it. So therefore, it doesn't fall down or get decrepit. Right. So the pshat is, Rabbi Ami said, no, if it's a house which is not normally, or a chutzah which is not normally rented out by the borrower, so it's disadvantaged to have a lender live there. He's not only is he not giving, but he's also getting from the lender living there. His house sitting, right. So therefore, he talks as a pay. And again, it's not like the psak in the Bali. It's just a little bit of warning on the base. You can hire a storekeeper to work for you. With your money, your investment, you're the capitalist, right? So you give him the money to work for you, and you give him half the proceeds. That's not good enough. The general principle of halacha, that's ribis. If I give you $100 to invest for me, and I expect to get back half the proceeds, in other words, you're going to get $100, you're going to make 50. So I'm going to get back my 100 plus 25, and you'll keep 25. Sounds good, right? It's ribis. Why is it ribis? Because I loaned you 100 and I got back 25. 125. So ribis. Hi, you made $25 on the deal too? Doesn't matter. Still ribis. I still got back more than I gave. The other time it's mutter, which I assume the Mara is going to discuss, is where I accept the potential loss as well. Where I'm not insured against loss. If I'm willing to accept the loss like the gain, then I'm okay. But if I'm only willing to accept the gain, that's not an investment, that's a loan. Okay? That's a principle which we'll talk about maybe tomorrow, on which our heteriskos are based. Okay? Leitin lamos, again, there's an alternative. Leitin lamos, likak lam peris amaxiskar. You can't give him money to go buy fruit and wheel and deal for half the profits. Okay, nesla skoro kapoil bata, unless I pay him a salary besides that. It could be a minimal salary, but I pay an unemployed person to do menial work, but I have to pay him a salary. That's another alternative. Either I accept part of the losses, or I pay him a minimal salary. Same thing, one cannot, one does not give chickens to an individual to raise for half the profits. Nor calves and young donkeys. Unless you pay him for not just the wages, but also for food which he puts into the animals. But you can accept the calves and the donkeys for half the profits, umagalnas on the raisim, achu shaloshim until a certain age, or shaloshim, I don't know exactly what that is, one third of their growth, the chamar chetaitoenis under the right, again, under the right stipulation, and a donkey until it becomes, until it can carry a load. Alright, I mean, I hope the Gemara will discuss it, but I don't know. Let's just do two more lines. First of all, the Skoria puts in a line here. If then normally there's wages for carrying the money, you know, like Federal Express charges for transit or Western Union charges for wiring the money, the investor's got to pay that as well. That's part of his requirement, not just the schar of the worker, but also the schar of transporting the monies. Now, a certain individual loaned money to his friend. It says in other words, he gave it to him as an investment. He said shav shnei dinarim agroch, I'm paying you as $2. And then we'll split the proceeds. That's okay, because he's paying him for the work and splitting the proceeds on top of it. So again, either he has to set upon himself part of the loss, or pay the guy for the labor, and then he can split the proceeds. So we'll come back to these issues tomorrow.